Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Curzon Podcast. This week we're going to be discussing Charlie Kaufman's latest work, Anomalisa. I'm Sam Howlett and as always I'm joined by Helen Seymour. Hello, Helen.
Hello.
How are you doing this morning?
I am well, thank you.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm good. Speaking to you just now though, it seems you're slightly scarred by Anomalisa.
Yes.
Slightly emotionally drained.
Yes. It's a tough one to process for me. It's taken me a few days.
Yeah, tough to talk about as well, I think,
but it's
as well.
Really old mind.
Yeah. My favourite one of his is Being John Malkovich, just because it's so weird. One of these films where it's... I think a lot of Charlie Kaufman stuff's like this, where it doesn't seem like it's based on anything. It's just solely from his mind. It's not like based on a book or based on a... Oh, influenced by this other film. It's just from his brain. I think Anomalisa fits into that category fairly well as well. It's obviously based on his play that he did in 2005, relatively small, unknown play, with just three actors. And here again, this film is an animated film with just three voice actors, David Thewlis, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Tom Noonan. And so let's go straight into the plot points. David Thewlis plays, is it Michael Stone?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Michael Stone, who is a motivational speaker who's lost his motivation and he's sort of disillusioned at the mundanity of life, and he goes to a hotel where he's about to do a motivational talk, but he's the demons from his past and just the state he's in are just pulling him back from actually delivering this speech and enjoying his life. But he meets Lisa, played by Jennifer Jason Leigh, and they start a romance. And I think that's all you need to know going in, really. And it's all pretty much set in this hotel. And Tom Noonan voices every single other character other than Michael and Lisa.
Like in The Simpsons.
Just like in The Simpsons. So we talked about a few weeks ago that we'd seen this trailer a lot. Without giving it away, it's a slightly deceptive trailer, in a way. Because it makes it look like it's just a romance film. It's very sort of heartwarming in moments, like that speech he gives. I think you'd extraordinary.
You'd have an impression. I was trying to practice my impression this morning and I can't do it.
It's a hard one to do.
I was genuinely walking around trying to do it.
David Thewlis.
Lupin.
Lupin. I thought so too, Harry.
Oh, that's really
good.
Thank
you. Yeah.
So
we are
annoyed.
3 minutes in.
I really want to do it. I can't. I'm not even going to try. I didn't realise it was Lupin.
Yeah.
But I really recognise the voice.
Everybody's have a day. Some good, some bad.
Don't do much.
That's not going to be the last of that, I think, this week.
It's very hard to talk about this without secreting it away.
And I just think the overall tone of the film is such a nice sort of, it sneaks up on you slightly.
Well, let's talk about the animation.
Okay, so it's all stop motion.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely incredible, yeah.
And they've been 3D printed.
Yeah.
the puppets.
It took 2 years to make, to film. They sometimes did just a second a day, because...
That's how long it takes.
Yeah, to just get everything perfect. And it does look perfect. It looks seamless. There's not one bit that looks shoddy or that doesn't look like it's had so much effort put into it. I think that's where, because it's directed by two people, we should point out, Charlie Kaufman and Duke Johnson, who has a background in this kind of animation. So this, the animated side is him, where I think the actual more humanistic approach is Charlie Kaufman.
Mm.
So it's quite interesting when there's two directors. And especially one of people's completely different backgrounds.
I think it's worked well.
Worked really well. Do you think it had to be animated?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would be a different film if it wasn't animated. I think he said that himself. Charlie Kaufman was like, no, it didn't have to be animated, but it would just be a different film.
He made the good point in an interview with our producer, Jacob Cunningham. he said, no one asked why it's live action.
No, that's true, yeah.
So he wouldn't have been impressed with that question,
He
Sam,
wouldn't know. I won't ask him.
I think it did, because there's an uncanny nature to puppets.
Mm.
Because
they're real, but not real.
They look so real.
Animate, yeah, inanimate.
Yeah.
And that sort of just gives you a weird feeling.
That kind of Franz Kafka.
Yeah, and that's kind of how Michael feels in the film as well. That everything's just off.
That's what we were talking about with Goodnight Mummy.
Yeah.
It's just the worst when something's just a tiny bit off and you can't place it.
You don't know what's wrong, but something is wrong.
That's a bit like this. Because we can say, so before we were saying Goodnight Mummy, there's a, what's it called? The certificate that comes up that tells you the rating.
The BBFC.
That thing that comes up. So in that one, it said that someone's trying to get in on the podcast outside. On the certificate, it says scenes are sex.
You don't expect that.
What
from
did
this
you
kind
think when you saw that?
Well, I knew it had a sex scene because I'd read somewhere that Annalisa has the best puppet sex scene since Team America.
When I saw on the certificate, it says
scenes of a sexual nature. You're like,
no, it doesn't say that. It says it's all strong the sex. Scenes. It's like strong sex, sexual references, and I thought I was going in there watching Wallace and Gromit.
It's far from Wallace and Gromit.
And I purposely went on a rainy Sunday afternoon because I was like, this will be a nice warm film. It's not.
Yeah, I think that it's, people talk about, oh, it's an animation but for adults. Because it's not just that there is a sex scene and swearing and smoking and drinking, it's that it's...
And nudity.
It's just that it's so complex and only an adult would get what it's trying to say.
I don't think I even got what it was trying
no,
to
No, neither did I.
I'm a grown
We're not
person.
Adults yet, maybe.
So
you got things like South Park, which say, oh, it's a cartoon, but oh, it's not for kids, it's for adults. But it's kind of slightly got a kind of juvenile humour.
And
whereas this doesn't have any of that. It's very adult and very sophisticated.
And South Park, the kids probably just... I mean, they're swearing in it, right?
Yeah.
But the kids just wouldn't get
it, yeah.
Half of it, and they probably just like the colourful characters.
Yeah, this
and
isn't
stuff.
Even colourful.
But like if a kid watched this, they would be scarred in the same way that I am a little bit scarred.
Yeah. It's very much an adult film, which is good. It's good that an animation's doing that.
Yeah. So should we kind of talk about the beginning bit of the film?
Yeah.
And then we'll do secrets.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Because there's a lot of secrets in this.
Yeah.
And it's hard to talk about it without talking about the secrets. So, the first thing you hear is lots of voices.
Mm-hmm.
It's black, and there's lots of voices. It's quite uncomfortable to hear.
Lots of Tom Noonan's voices.
Yeah.
Well, I think
that kind of put me on edge.
Immediately, yeah. Immediately, I put an edge, and immediately you're, well, this is not what I expect from a cartoon. I don't even got to call it a cartoon, but you know this kind of film, and it's, immediately you're thinking of, just things about being displaced and being overwhelmed. And so immediately you're uneasy with the film,
and
that doesn't go away.
No, and then he's on the plane, and
there's the guy holding his hand. It's okay, you can let go now, though.
Do you just want to do?
No, sorry.
I mean, I was just going to describe the beginning of the film, but if you just want to...
Sorry.
If you just want to do it, and then I can just jump in with...
I think it's out of my system.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't think it is. He reads a letter.
Yeah.
From Annette. It's got lots of swearing in, Sam.
Loads of swearing. And it's a really angry letter.
Yeah.
So then you're immediately like, whoa, this is not... Yeah.
This is not what I thought it was.
Yeah.
So that puts you on edge. And then someone grabs his hand. But that is actually very symbolic of the rest of the film in terms of sort of identity. I'll just say that.
Okay. I think I got hit where you're getting it. Obviously, you can't expand on that until... The secret section.
He gets in a taxi, and there's quite a funny scene with a taxi driver.
Yeah, recommending this is funny. Places to go.
Did you find this funny?
I did find that funny. Yeah, I found a lot of it funny.
Yeah,
actually, yeah.
So this Michael's just landed in
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, and he's just there for one night. Mm-hmm. With a taxi driver talking to him about all the different places
the zoo.
You can go, the zoo and the chili.
Yeah, I think that's important actually. We've talked about how the film's slightly bleak and you feel slightly uneasy, but there is a lot of humour.
Yeah.
But also there are occasions of it's quite... There's like a few moments of its warm-heartedness.
Yeah.
Here and there. I mean, not as much as we both thought it would have, or everyone that's seen the trailer thought it would have, but it's there. There is a kind of nice edge to it in certain scenes. I think particularly everything with Lisa on that night... Lisa's the girl that he meets, by the way.
Yeah.
We should point out that she's a fan. She's supposed to be attending the talk
so
he's doing.
So he is a famous... He's famous because he's written a book called How I Can Help You Help Them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's doing a talk in the hotel or somewhere nearby. But yeah, he meets her and they have a night of passion. Let's put it that way. But before that, she...
It's very realistic.
Yeah.
Took them 6 months to do.
There's a kind of awkwardness as well, which was nice, because they are two strangers that I've never met. It's not
really awkward.
It's not sexy either.
There's
nothing sexy. I know it's puppets, but even if they were humans, it still wouldn't be sexy, just because everything's slightly awkward. Yeah, so she sings Girls Just Want to Have Fun. She near enough sings the whole song. I like it when they do that in films.
Yeah.
Rather than just have them sing 5 minutes. Like in Inside Llewyn Davis, every character, whenever they sing the whole song.
Yeah.
It reminded me as well of the scene in Shame, where Kerry Mulligan sings...
I was thinking of that.
Yeah, sings New York.
New York.
Is it New York, New York? Or was the song just called New York?
I always call it New York, New York. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, where she sings that and the camera just stays on her face the entire time while she sings.
I was honestly thinking that one. Can I talk about the hotel room a little bit? Because it's really... so the detail in this film is amazing.
Yeah.
And the characters, like, the puppets don't move like puppets. Their clothes move as they walk.
Because they did, like, a second a day, if that. It's so fluid. And there's one scene where he's running down a corridor, which is fantastic.
It's so real. I think this has never been done in film before, how realistic it is. It's incredible. I would say go and see it just to see that on the big screen, because that's the best place you're going to see it, to see this amazing animation.
Mm. It's a real
piece
of
art,
I think,
this
film. More so than a lot of things we've talked about. This really feels like it's had so much creative effort put into it.
Yeah.
And I think it's paid off. It is fantastic. Yeah, we haven't actually said if we liked it yet.
Yeah, I liked it. It just took me a long time to process. It's like that film. Is it called Happiness?
No, this is an incredible film. It's very short. I think it's like an hour and 20 minutes or something.
Hilariously, I wanted it to be longer.
I actually wanted it to be longer as well. I wouldn't say it was a criticism that it was too short. I think it was perfect, but maybe
just because I liked watching.
It was just nice to be in that world.
Yeah.
For selfish reasons, I wanted it to be longer. I don't think the film actually needed to be longer.
No,
I don't think there was anything else that could have been added to make it better.
I agree.
I was enjoying watching it and enjoying watching this animation and listening to the... Because the voice actors are incredible.
The whole thing's incredible.
A lot of people, I think someone tweeted from the LA Times that the voice acting in Annalisa is better than any actor nominated for an Oscar this year.
Yeah.
And I think
I'll go with that.
I think that's a...
quite a big statement.
Big statement, but I think there is a lot to say. Like, it is incredible what these people are doing. Secret Time?
Yeah. Should we just sort of say as a sum up, it's a very well-made film with a very dark edge to it.
Yeah.
But we really recommend going to see it.
Yeah, you're not going to see anything else like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
And it's Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah.
Charlie Kaufman is his own genre, is his own institution now, as much as he probably doesn't really want to be.
I call him Kaufman, is that wrong?
Kaufman. I don't know. Okay. Secret Time. So if you haven't seen the film, we're going to secret the hell out of it.
So it's really dark. It's like a nightmare.
It isn't. The whole thing's a nightmare.
And
it's like The Shining. We're sitting in this hotel and there's like weird...
Yeah, it's like The Shining. This is my problem. This is why I can't process it properly in my head.
Okay.
It's so dark that I keep wanting to call it a horror film and label it as a horror film and put it in that box and be like, well, it was a horror film. But so, I can't because it's too realistic.
Yeah.
So it's uneasy in my mind. I don't know where to put it.
So before I saw this, I knew that it was an animation and I knew that it only had three voice actors, with one of them doing the voice of the whole cast aside from the two leads. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And I'd seen the trailer and thought, oh, it's going to be a sort of almost a rom-com, like just a kind of a light-hearted romance. I'm kind of like Lost in Translation, where it's all set in a hotel and it's just about these two people meeting and falling in love. And I thought, okay, that will be interesting. I don't really know why it's going to be animation and I don't know why one guy's doing all the voices, but I'm sure that'll be quite a funny little interesting point, when actually both those things are major parts of the plot, because that's how Michael perceives the world.
So Tom Noonan, who does all the voices, it's not like The Simpsons.
It's
that
not. It's all the same voice. And everyone has the same face, apart
everyone
from Michael and Lisa.
Everyone has the same voice and the same... They've got, people have got different hair.
Mm.
But the bottom half of their face all has the same structure. Which took me ages to realise.
Took me quite a while to work that one out as well.
And also the voices.
Okay, the voices I got from the off, but...
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Maybe because I knew.
I think I thought that they were similar, but I think I thought they were similar. Mm. That's the best way to put it. I didn't think that they were the same.
Okay.
Until he's on the phone, and then I was like, what? Something's up here.
Yeah, and it's the way he sees the world is that everyone is the same and has the same voice.
Everything has just become this monotonous blur to him. So everyone has the same voice, and they're just all, you can't tell them apart. Even his wife and his child, which you find out when he rings them, they have the same voice.
Yeah. And there's and the thing with the animation, they play on it. Like, his face sort of wobbles and it even falls off at one point.
Yeah.
In a dream. So he's actually, it's part of the film. It acknowledges that it's animated and it's stop motion.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. And I don't know, do you think, because part of me thought, oh, maybe that's also how he sees the world, like in reality, in the film's reality, everyone is
real
flesh and bone, normal, but he just sees everyone as this sort of stop motion constructed animation. Maybe I think there's a lot to go into with things like that, but anyway, the point is that there's a reason that Tom Noonan does all the voices, and there's a reason it's animated. It's not just gimmick, and it's not just this will be fun. What can make this film more interesting? I don't know, make it stop motion. There's actually a reason for it, and a good reason as well. What did you think of the ending?
I loved him just sitting on the stairs.
Yeah. The fact that he's got a wife and kids was a surprise.
Yes, but yes, because you think this is about an older man falling in love and finally finding
a lonely
someone.
Man. He's a lonely man, but
he's married,
with has a son, and even when he goes home, it's like a surprise party, and there's loads of friends over there. So he's not like he is alone, but he is still lonely. Which I think that's maybe one of the point where I realised this film was going in a different direction from what I thought. When you realise he's married and has a kid,
I agree,
and I was like, oh. So the film is him having an affair with Lisa?
Yeah. Which isn't very nice, is it?
Not at all.
To have an affair.
So yeah, he goes to this toy store, which turns out to be a sex toy store. And there is a... I don't know how to describe it.
Antique sex toy.
Okay. An antique sex toy of kind of like...
A Japanese woman with her mouth open.
Yeah.
It's like a... doll.
It's like
it's like a sex doll.
Like a sex doll, but with no arms or legs. And it's made of like
China.
Is it made of porcelain? I don't know. It's weird.
It looks like it doesn't look like a sex toy. It looks like an erotic ornament.
Mm. That's an excellent phrase.
Thank erotic you, ornament. Sam.
I bet you never thought you'd have to say that.
Yeah. but it is, apparently. So he's very drunk. He wants to reconnect with an old lover. So he invites her to the hotel. It goes disastrously wrong. He stumbles about drunk. He goes into this. He gets the doll. Then he meets Lisa.
Now, the doll has a crack in this, the side of its eye. And Lisa has a scar pattern in the side of her eye. And he says that Lisa is an anomaly... And then he comes with a nickname for her, Anomalisa. And doesn't she mention something that's a Japanese
word?
Yeah,
the end.
Yeah. So Jake thinks that there's a connection between that.
Not just Jake.
It's quite a popular theory, yeah. I guess.
Don't pin it all on Jake.
It's all Jake's fault. He's mad. this is the ravings of a lunatic. That they are the same person and that Lisa is his imagination. Or that he in his mind, the sex doll came to life.
This is mainly because of the end. I really don't want to talk about this bit.
We can talk about it.
But he gives... Oh, I know we can, but I just don't want to. He gives his son...
The sex doll.
The sex doll as a present, because his son wants a present.
His son's about 6 as well.
And then his son says, there's liquid coming out of it. And the wife says, it looks like semen.
Yeah.
Did he give his son a used sex toy?
Yeah. I think it's just the point where he's just... Because Lisa...
So detached.
Yeah, and Lisa's turned out... In the morning after they sleep together, she gradually fades back into the same face as everyone else.
Because she's human.
And the same voice. Yeah, she's not Lisa anymore. She's just everyone else. And he just doesn't care about her anymore because he's realised she's not what he thought she was. So he's just completely... His one... ray of hope in his life was Lisa at that point, and she's gone as well. So he's just got nothing left. If he doesn't care anymore, doesn't care if he gives his son, who he doesn't really love, a used sex toy anymore.
But that's so dark.
It's horrible. Like, that's it's just, really dark.
Like, I couldn't get over that.
Yeah. It's funny. It's played as like a joke almost.
Yeah,
like
but
just sort of a side joke.
Yeah.
It's you hear her say it in the background.
Yeah.
But it is quite a horrible thing. Like, it's like, did that just happen? Did I just hear her say that? Oh, yeah.
And then he sits on the stairs and just looks at the doll and that's the end.
Yeah.
And the doll sings, like Lisa sings.
Yeah.
It's quite a good theory, Jake.
It is a good theory. I didn't think of it.
It.
I didn't think of it until he told me about it. I was like, oh, actually, yeah, that could make sense.
I think it's mirroring. I think Lisa's real.
It's the sex doll and Lisa are parallel to each other. They're not the same thing, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
What do you think of Lisa as a character?
I really like she's from another film, I think. She's a rom-com character. She's the kind of scatterbrained underdog female. She has something that she's very self-conscious about the scar on her face. And it's only, you know, this man has to come into her life and give her the self-confidence to get over it. So she's just a really nice sort of rom-com character that has unfortunately found herself not in a rom-com.
That's a very cool way of looking at it.
I think that she wants Michael to be how he is on the first night forever, but it just she's in the wrong film. She's in the wrong environment for her to find someone like that.
That's cool, man. That's a good way of looking at it. She sort of annoyed me.
Oh, okay.
She didn't annoy me, but the way she's like, oh, sorry, I'm really shy. Oh, no, oh, dear. Oh.
Yeah, she is very much like that.
And I felt like I wanted to see a strong female character in this film.
Yeah, she's not the strongest, and even when the next morning he's quite horrible to her.
She doesn't stand up for herself.
And she says, oh, okay, sorry. Yeah. Now, I think
that's... The point is that we see this whole film from Michael's perspective.
Yeah.
And he only is attracted to women who are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, you get that from when he meets the ex. She's also very self-conscious.
Yeah.
And vulnerable, and he seems to not take advantage of that, but enjoy that.
I did not like Michael Stone.
No.
I found him creepy guy. He's a
really, really nasty character.
Yeah.
And I actually think the film goes out of its way to make him a nasty character as well. He didn't do anything. Just from the moment you realise he has a wife and son, immediately
you don't like him.
He has negative connotations.
Yeah.
But then from there, he constantly smokes and drinks, and he just the sex toy and the way he treats people around him, and even the guy on the, I know it's supposed to be funny, but the guy on the plane that holds his hand, and he's just. I said it's okay. That
yeah.
Did the voice again.
I knew it would come back.
But he's grumpy and he's just mean and not a nice guy.
Now the guy on the plane. I was talking about this.
Yes.
This is my theory.
Okay.
Right. So the guy on the plane mistakes. I'm putting that in things for his wife. He doesn't, but he says sorry. My wife normally sits next to me, so I just automatically grabbed your hand. Right, which is kind of relates to this idea that everyone's the same.
Yeah.
Like, that they're interchangeable.
Yeah.
Okay, now, the guy on the plane isn't doing that. He just made a mistake.
Yeah.
But the man on the plane is still reaching out and compassionate towards other people.
Yeah.
Michael is the opposite of that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That sets up the whole film, that people are constantly trying to reach out to Michael and have a relationship with him. And have a conversation with him, and he's constantly, no, don't want it.
Yeah.
He's so in his own mind that he can't even see that people are trying to reach out to him.
Yeah.
We talked about, what's the syndrome? Frog. Frogoli?
Fregoli.
Fregoli.
Fregoli. Fregoli,
yes. And he...
That's the name of the hotel, the Fregoli.
Yeah. I didn't even put those two things together.
Oh my gosh, didn't you?
No, not until you said it just then. I was like, the hotel was called the Fregoli, wasn't it? Of course, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
So, do you want to explain what Fregoli syndrome is? Is it syndrome?
It's the Fregoli delusion.
Fregoli delusion.
Now, I think in loads of press and stuff, it's kind of got watered down into something else.
Okay.
So lots of people saying the Fregoli delusion is where you think everyone's the same person, but it's not really that.
Okay.
It's when you think, from what I understand, from what I looked up, it's when you think that one person is pretending to be everyone else, normally for malicious reasons.
Okay.
So that's quite a serious delusion to have.
Yeah.
Now, Charlie Kaufman said that was his jumping off point for the film.
Okay.
And people, when talking about this, have kind of just said, oh, it's when you think everyone's the same.
Yeah.
But it's not really that, because I think it's more with this malicious intent.
Okay.
And that there's one person who's deceiving you.
Okay. So there we go. I think, it's, you can't really work out what exactly is wrong with Michael.
He says at one point, I think I'm having some psychological problems.
Yeah. Well, I think
he is.
Put it lightly. Yeah. Yeah. I think he is. I think it's nice and ambiguous to exactly what is happening to Michael.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has to be. And I think it has to. This is another reason why I think it has to be animation.
Mm.
And it has to be so surreal and nightmare-ish. Because it's not very ethical to have a character with some kind of mental illness in that way, because that's just, I mean,
they
come
did
on.
It too much. Yeah. Well, what's wrong with him? He is crazy?
Yeah, like, come
on. What's wrong with him? He's crazy.
Like, you can do...
Yeah.
Like, that's terrible. You can't have... You can't... That can't be your get out. Like, that's too much of a serious thing that affects people today, and there's already too much stereotyping of that. Like, you can't have that as the key to your film. I don't buy that.
No, it's not convincing, and it's just
so
weak.
I think that's why it has to be so surreal.
Yeah.
Or else it's just, if he hadn't done it like that, it would just be like a clumsily held thing. Oh, he's crazy. Like, stop that, please, filmmakers. Yeah. And this film doesn't do that at all.
No, it's quite, not sympathetic, but it gives... a nice view towards
But I think
this.
It's more like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Rather than an examination of a psychological illness.
What did you think of the actual nightmare, the dream sequence? Did that sit well? Did it suit the film? Did it add anything?
There's a book called The Way In by Will Wiles.
Right.
Which I wondered if... I don't think it is related, but I was like, oh, this is going a bit The Way In-y.
Okay.
Because the main character in that is in a hotel, and he's in like a Premier Inn, so it's all the same.
Yeah.
So he keeps moving from Premier Inn, and he's like, all these hotels are the same. And he gets a call, and the manager asks to see him.
Okay.
And the film takes the book takes a whole
okay, but there's still that call.
But I was like, oh, that's like weird. That's kind of like that book.
Yeah, I think the dream sequence, it does mean a lot. I actually offhand can't think what exactly is going on. Like, I think this film definitely deserves a rewatch.
Selfishness.
Okay.
Because. So the hotel manager calls him.
He says he's in love with him. And
then he says, Michael, I'm in love with you. Yeah. You can't go out with Lisa. That's more Fregoli-ish, actually. The dream is.
Yeah.
Because that's more like they're trying to get him. Because then he runs back and he's like, they're trying to get...
Yeah.
And he says then they're all the same person.
Yeah. That's the most sort of paranoid he
gets. So actually, the dream is very paranoid.
Okay.
Also, there's a huge pit that he falls in. Couldn't really work that out.
Yeah. Not much to say about that.
There's some stuff about George Bush as well.
What's the stuff about George Bush?
The manager has a picture of George Bush. And then when he does the speech, he says, you're like George Bush.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't say that at all. He says something like you. He says something about George Bush. Yeah. I can't remember what.
There's a lot to analyse in this film. And I definitely think it
still
will...
processing, guys. Yeah. Just give me a moment.
I think
just...
on rewatch... a lot more will become apparent to us, like things in the background, like the George Bush references and things like that. And maybe that does mean something for the overall plot. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's just Kaufman throwing us off. On that note, we're going to have to wrap it up there. It's a very weird film, but I highly recommend it.
What's it about, Sam?
Who are we to say? I think it's about, on one hand, it's about disillusionment with the mundanity of life, but... I think there's also something more personal going on inside Michael's mind. Like, personal to him rather than a statement about humanity itself.
I think it's like, if you keep reaching out, it will. If you keep treating people like objects, you're only going to be left with objects.
Yeah. But decide for yourself. That's the good thing about the film.
Go and see it
and make sure you know someone else who's seen it and then discuss it with them. It's kind of a film you want to discuss for a while afterwards as well.
As we've done.
Yeah. So thank you for joining us this week, and we'll see you next week for more film reviews.
Bye!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.